Okay, guys, we are live. I'm gonna call the Appropriations Committee meeting back into order, and the time is 1 p.m. Welcome back. Okay, we were actually in the discussion still of item number 5, which was our appropriations update. And out of all of our discussion and the big numbers we've spoke about, it seems like merit is the one that keeps getting brought up, which is the one that doesn't cost us the most, but we do need to make a decision, probably in the committee. I'm hearing there we can do that under merit discussion, but just be thinking about it before today. We need to decide if we're going to do the merit or not, and this is why. If we intend to do the merit or consider adding new positions, it's going to take Treasury resubmitting all the support docs. And second speaker are very aware of that. It's going to be timely. We've agreed to re-enter everything. We haven't talked to Trey because it affects Trey as well, but it also affects our non-tribal and our IDC bills. Wouldn't you think, Treasurer Batson, if we were to do the merit, wouldn't that affect all the other bills as well? And the reason why is because we're not going to just have a section that says merit in one lump sum, and that's under the request, and something I prefer as well, because then you know which budgets have the merit and which ones do not. And so I think that committee we need to talk about that in further detail, but we need to make a decision, I think, today. It'll be beneficial. Second speaker, anything else about the report? Any questions from the committee or anybody? Any other comments about the appropriations report?
No, ma'am, I don't have any more.
Okay. Committee, any other questions? Speaker Shaw.
I apologize, but you said we need to make a decision today on what?
Whether we are okay with adding back in the merit that was removed or not.
So if we need to make that decision today, what's preventing us from making that decision? What are we doing? Are we going to wait till the end? Are we waiting for something else if we have to make that decision today, correct?
I would like to, because it's going to, what will happen is then Treasury will have to go back and amend all the budgets and resubmit them, and it'll affect those bills. Also, timing. We have a second speaker and I, besides this committee meetings, we've got other meetings, too, that we're a part of or chairing. And unfortunately, you just have us as your budget analyst, folks, so. We're basically going to have to redo everything. We don't mind, is what I'm saying. We just got to make sure that if that's something the committees even want to do or not. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Well, two things. I wasn't on the same question that Speaker Shaw was talking about, but I think it deserves more conversation. We have 55 minutes to decide whether or not to put merit in. So if we're going to get that done today and get them tasked back up on the Hill with adding that back into budgets, I think that we need to make that decision before adjournment, which is very soon. And then the thing I had my hand up that I wanted to talk about was at the very first of the introduction, and I see it on this sheet, and you were asking if there's any more questions about the sheet we were looking at, and you talked about the PIA and the PIF, and this, I see that the PIF request is $750,000, and I just want to get that clear in my mind. The money that goes into the PIF comes out of the PIA, right?
So the money goes into the property improvement account.
Right, so the money is there then, that we appropriate into the PIF. So that $750,000 that's hanging there would be an appropriation, but it's out of
to the PIF, a
designated account, not necessarily weighing against tribal tribal revenue. Correct.
Okay, so this is
Madam Chair.
A tribal request for the PIF. So we would be funding that revolving fund with tribal dollars.
So it would not come out of the property improvement account?
No, ma'am. I see what you're saying.
Right,
you're asking, is this a request to come out of the PIA to the PIF? No, ma'am. This is a request to go from tribal, the general treasury, to the PIF.
Okay. And so we don't have that money in the property improvement account. So this is strictly tribal. Okay, that's all what I needed clarity on. But going back to it, I think that we need to, if we're going to do merit, we need to have that discussion, or we'll have to talk about it another day.
Well, this is also, and I have it on the agenda further. I'm just letting the committee know we need to just like to have that answer today or some direction.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Casey.
I got a bit confused there. Normally, when we put money into the property improvement fund, it does come from the property income account. It sounded like you were saying it comes from tribal. I guess technically, yes, it is, but it doesn't come from the distribution.
Okay, so Casey, I understood that your request for the $750,000, you're asking us to fund that tribally. Or are you saying you have $750,000 in the PIA, you're wanting to move over from the PIA to the PIF?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you're wanting to move it from the PIA to the PIF?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. That is correct.
Okay.
If I requested tribally, I don't know why I would do that. I have never done that, but my intent is for that. There is a balance in the PIA, and we want to move that money to the property improvement fund. And it shouldn't have any bearing at all on y'all's discussion as far as
the tribal. It's
the distribution.
Okay.
It shouldn't have anything to do with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll make that. We can definitely make that amendment to this snapshot then. I'm sorry, Case. I thought you guys were coming down and asking for a tribal appropriation.
No, ma'am.
And I do have an amendment that has been sent out from the clerks to the committee, but I haven't introduced the amendment to add that section to the tribal bill. We're right now just keeping track of everything, just like the other amendments. Okay, any other questions about the report? Okay, let's go on then to, I just want to go over everything with the committee if we can real quick. We have on 6, we've got the permanent fund bill. We've talked about that. We had postponed it. So we have the permanent fund. We're going to have to decide what we're going to do. The IDC bill, that could have some changes dependent upon merit and any movement suggested by the committee or other folks not on the committee. Going past on the 2596, what we haven't talked about is the Elder Broadband Revolving Fund. I do want to speak about that right now. I think it's a good time to let the directors talk about their request, unless the committee doesn't want to hear about the request. We have a sheet in front of us that's been sent out of the properties. We would have to go in executive session. On section 20, the Elder Broadband, Treasurer Batson has suggested we remove that request from our tribal bill. He said that it's been funded properly, that it doesn't need to be included at this time. Is that correct, sir?
It wasn't my suggestion. That's what I was told by executive, was that the money is there. There's sufficient money in there to cover the expected expenses through next year, so we don't need to add more money to the revolving fund at this time.
So that would be, if the committee's okay, then we would strike that section.
Chair, this is Andrea Kimball.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm and just affirm to the committee that we are funded for Elder Broadband and project our next annual expenditures to be funded, so we are withdrawing this request. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right, we're all on the same page then. Okay. Okay. We do have that amendment will be tracked. And then the next section is 53, which is the real property purchasing revolving fund. Do you have a current balance of that right now, Treasurer Batson? We'll be looking for that balance and also the balance in the restricted real property revolving fund. Now, on these requests, we have one request for $2 million, and then the next request is for $1 million. So the total is a $3 million request to purchase real property or restricted. Okay, so listen, this was sent down to us in a PDF, so it's kind of hard to read.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. There should be a request for $1 million in real property purchase fund and $2 million in the restricted real property for a total of $3 million. And our balances are showing $24,925.66 in the restricted property purchase fund and $74,850.63 in the real property purchase fund.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so committee, where I am on this is if you want to consider purchasing land or have them present, we will have to go into executive session to discuss that. Treasurer Batson and then Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Okay, this is as of August 31st, the restricted property repurchase revolving fund, it began 25 with 650,000 roughly. It's spent roughly 630, and the current balance is just under 25,000. And on the real property purchase revolving fund, the balance at the beginning of the year, 750K, they've spent 680,000 roughly. And right now, as of August, the balance was right at 75,000. So basically, we got 75,000 in real property purchase revolving fund and 25,000 in the restricted real property purchase revolving fund.
Okay, so about a total of 200,000 available to purchase property. Pardon me? Oh, 100, sorry. Okay, committee, what do you guys want to do? Congresswoman Whitehorn? I just kind of could tell.
Okay. So, you know, I love buying every square inch Osage reservation area that I can possibly buy. I think that we have been real remiss on this, but I'd like to see how we get our operating budgets settled out first and then maybe put this money back in during a following special session, and then that way we're settled. I think everything needs to get settled, but I'm all about spending $3 million on property in FY26 if we can swing that, you know. And that is one thing that I don't mind going to the casinos and asking money for, extra additional money for. And I have no problem with that.
Well,
so
I would agree, because there's money they set aside to purchase land and they retain it. If they don't purchase land, they just keep retaining it. And so Write that down. That could be a request that we ask them in our next commerce meeting. So, I'm just sitting here think that's a good idea, Congresswoman.
So at this point in time, I think that, not because I don't want to buy land this fiscal year, but I think for where we are budgetarily, we need to like just put that off the bill right now. That's my opinion, and you know, I'll discuss and do whatever the majority of the Congress wants to do, but that's my one opinion here.
Okay, so on then on 2596 where we are, then we could say that we have reviewed then 2053 and 55, and you're not wanting to, we don't want to talk to the director at this time, and we just move on through the agenda. Committee? Okay. Speaker Shaw?
Well, I don't see any harm in talking about it. Let's have the director.
Well, okay, I agree with that. We've got the information in front of us. Yeah. We've had it for some time now. We should all be very familiar with their request on the amount of acreage and where and everything. So at this point, by the time we get here, we should be saying, this is what I'd like to do as a Congress member. And if you guys want to talk about this right now, we can, or we're going to move on because we still got to talk about merit. We've got other bills as well. Congressman Potts has his legislation on here that's new. Committee? Move on? Casey, stay on the call, though, would you? Just in case we come back to that, if you would. So on this clerk on 2596, I don't have to do anything. We've reviewed them. The next item, then, is the merit discussion. And so, committee? Second speaker?
I'm just one opinion, but I think it's appropriate to include merit in these budgets for FY26. So I, as one member of the committee, would appreciate if we would ask Treasury to help us adjust budgets to include it.
Okay, I also have a question. Treasurer Batson, what's going on in FY25 in merit? Because that's right, or is this two different discussions, wouldn't you think? What's going on right now in 25, and then what are they thinking is going to happen in 26? Because remember, we didn't even start at FY26. I think these guys are concerned about their merit right now. For 25, Treasurer Batson?
Okay, for FY25, what's going on is, the way that the employee handbook is written, it says the merit range, the merit bonuses are subject to available funds. And what came to Treasury was wanting to enable programs that did not have the money in their budgets to do merit bonuses for 25. And unlike last year, in 24, there was a tribal appropriation to cover merit bonuses. In 25, there was not. So unless something changed, the merit bonuses can only be given if they're in the budgets. So that's where it's at.
Okay, so FY25 does not have merit included that was appropriated from Congress, but what it does have is unspent funds.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse, and then second speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do we know how frequently we have given merit raises, say in the past 4-5 years? Have they received one every year? And Does anyone know?
Is Julio on the call?
Chair, I'm getting him right now to come on the call.
Okay, so what? So in 24, we did appropriate money to a section of the tribal bill. Last year, Susan, again, how did you guys, from what I understand, is if there was, they had unspent funds, then some departments were able to provide bonuses. We're not talking about pay increase, right? We're talking about merit bonus. And is that right, Clark? Is that what was given out was a bonus or was it a merit pay increase?
Bonus.
Which was just a lump sum. So if an employee at a department received $1,200, how was that amount determined?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am. I can speak to this. I've been here for a minute, so.
Well, what my question is, I want you to be able to answer, is not the whole, I don't want the historical about what they've done or haven't done, but how, if an employee was given a check for $1,200 last year, merit bonus, how was that amount determined?
So the determination, Madam Chair, the determination is based off of the employee's annual evaluation. So, you know, you score it basically 0 to 5. It is in the handbook. We were capped at a maximum of 3% last year. And so depending on how you scored within your evaluation, you could earn, you know, 1, 1.5%, 2, 2.5%, 3%, up to 3%. Now I can't recall where the cap came from. And I discussed this with you the other day, and I looked through policies, I looked through everything, and there is no real cap on a bonus. You can give, you know, up to 10%, 20%. Everything has to be justified and reasonable. And then it goes through the approval process of, you know, from the director to the secretary. You got to check with the accountants and everything else to make sure that the money exists. And that's basically how it worked.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is there's two ways you can get receive merit, a merit bonus or through a merit pay increase. And the merit pay increase is based off your eval.
The merit bonus is based off the eval. A merit increase could be that you earn a master's degree and there, you know, you have become a more professional individual, and then that will raise your base pay to another level, or you get more duties and responsibilities put on you. You rerun a market and that could increase your pay. It could be based off of your eval as well. I mean, you can base it off multiple things to get the merit increase. The difference is the merit bonus is a one-time thing once a year. The merit increase follows the employee, you know, for the life of that position. So on the
budgets that were submitted, just say to Treasury, don't think about sending them down to Congress. When they were submitted to Treasury, are the directors, were they then putting in merit for their pay pay increase for each employee and a merit bonus per employee?
Madam Chair, I cannot answer that truthfully. I don't, because I don't know how directors were doing that.
Okay. Well, that's the goes back to the consistency part. As a director, what did you do as a secretary? What did you tell your directors to do? Did you say, hey guys, don't forget your merit, don't forget your bonus and your, you know, the eval increase? Did you, don't forget to budget for it? What did you tell your directors to do as far as merit went?
Madam Chair, by the time my budgets came up, we were given the instructions to not include it at all. So I told my folks, don't put it in there. Okay. You know, so normally what I tell my guys is, and you know, it's an opinion, put in 5% for everyone for bonus and merit increase. And then if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, then it goes back into retained revenue and, you know, it doesn't get spent. So it, I see it as you can't tell the future. You don't know if someone's going to earn something or not. And I have always gone by, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So if you don't put it in there, then, well, obviously nobody gets an increase, I guess. But, you know, and if you put 5% in there for an individual and they get 3%, well, the 2% would go back into the general treasury as retained revenue. And so the nation technically doesn't lose the money, I guess, is what I'm saying.
We understand that piece of it. Okay, committee.
Here.
Yes, Director Bayrou. I'm sorry, Secretary Bayrou, is Julio on the call?
Unfortunately, he had approved PTO today, and so he's not going to be able to attend because he's traveling. But I can tell you that he's been trying to get in touch with and have discussion about this with Treasurer Batson, which they haven't been able to do. But I would defer all the questions and comments to Treasurer Batson.
He was trying to get me to make a final determination of how merit bonuses were going to go for this year, and that's not my decision to make. That rests with Congress.
Correct, but there was that type of discussion to get it to here for Congress.
Okay, well, we don't really, I don't think Treasury is the one in charge of merit. They're there to say if the funding's there or not, not whether we're doing it or not. So we really wanted Julio to be part of this convo. Mr. Aldridge was aware of that this morning when I spoke to him before 8. It helps us make a decision on how you guys are going to roll it out. We don't know how you intend to roll out 25 or 26. And that would not be dependent upon the treasurer, but the HR director. What is this with the hand, you know, as far as policy goes? What does this look like for the employees?
Chair.
Yes.
So as far as the policy, then that has been conveyed with Treasurer Batson, as has basically the way it was last year and all of that. That's not different. The only thing we need to know from Treasurer Batson is with this policy, is there funding for the employees to implement it? I can forward you the email which has the policy in to the clerk, and then she can spread it out.
Speaker Shaw.
So I agree with second speaker. I think that we need to decide whether it's our desires as a Congress, because it does sound like that's being placed on our plate. That's fine. Yes. Pam Shaw says, yes, we want to move forward with the merit for the employees. So if everyone agrees, then let's, what's the next step? I mean, this is the Appropriations Committee.
Yeah, I understand. Right? I understand that. But I'm going to tell you what my question is that I'd like to have from the HR director. Are you going to pay out a merit bonus? And how much? $1,000? To how many employees? $499? I'm looking for a number.
I think that'd be great. It doesn't sound like our HR director is inclined to tell us.
Or are we going to do an annual eval? Is that going to be done on the October 2nd for everybody? Or is that going to be on their annual evaluation date? What does this look like? When are they to expect their merit? Is it through the evaluation process? If so, like Casey said, for him and his people, he's saying, hey, I want you to budget up to 5%. But then you're also hearing 3.5. We're hearing 3%. So what is it? That's kind of where I'm at with the HR director is, what is it that you're telling the direct, what do they anticipate paying their people out? Is it a 3%? Is it a 3.5, a 5%? Speaker Shaw?
I agree. Is HR going to make that decision, or is Congress going to make that decision?
We can only appropriate.
Then let's appropriate the dang money and move on and say, yes, we want there to be a merit. But if the thing holding us up is Mr. Julio, then I highly suggest that someone gets him on the line. Is he not paying attention to the agendas? Does he not realize this is our budget session? I'm just so frustrated because we have to make this decision, this body, today, right? We want to make it today, but we can't do it. We don't have the information we need.
Well, and also I've been receiving calls from other entities asking me, Jody, how do you guys do the merit? I said, I don't know. This is not in a legislative area. We're here to appropriate. How it goes down, I have no idea. We have other directors, we have other board members over employees wanting to know what this looks like, that are not the call of Treasury.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
I hate throwing wrenches and everything as well, but I think we need to look at this as two separate things as well, a merit increase for salary and a merit bonus. So instead of 5%, you're looking at 10.
Yes,
if that's what we decided the numbers should be, if it's 3%, then should we not be looking at 6? Because just because you get a pay increase, say you get a pay increase in November, or you graduate and you get a pay increase in December, do you now not qualify for a bonus at the end of the year, September, because we already gave you a pay increase? I think they're two different things.
I do too. But that's the clarification we're looking for, Secretary Johnson, is what does this look like? But we're talking about FY25 for employees sitting there, like our clerks. What's going on right now? And what about what's going to happen in FY26? What can I expect? Every employee has the right to know how the merit affects them. Every year, it should be consistent. And so, Treasurer Batson?
Right now, the answer would be exactly what is in the employee handbook. It's on page 28, 512, performance recognition. And it talks about the evaluations being done between September 1st and 15th, and a bonus being paid. And it says performance level, evaluation scores. It says what it can be. And then there is the clarifier, be subject to available funds. So right now, reviews can be done, and if it's in their budget right now, they can give bonuses. If it's not in their budget, they can't. That is the current situation as it exists now.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Well, I'll just throw this out here. I'm all for this committee sending the directive to the treasurer to include a 3% merit bonus in this year's operational appropriations for the employees, merited employees of the nation. That's where I want to go today. A merit bonus of 3% in all the budgets for the merited employees for 2026. It's my understanding if they have it right now in their budget, what he just read, if they have it right now, then they can pay that out. It's what Treasurer Batson just read to us out of the policy.
And when I got the directive from executive to take the merit bonuses out for 26, that was Chief. That was Chief Standing Bear's recommendation. And at the time, this is when DOGE was first starting. And there was a lot of uncertainty as to what would happen with the federal funds. So the desire was to limit cost increase in 26 until we have a better idea of what's going on. And I found a couple mistakes, but we basically have what the 26 budgets will be with the 3% put back in. For 26, it's going to come out to, like I said, there's a couple mistakes, but it's going to be around $1,150,000 for tribal, $275,000 for IDC, and around $12,000 for non-tribe for MIFA programs. For tribal, $1,150,000. $275,000 for IDC, and around $12,000 for the MIFA programs. What about non-tribal? Non-tribal, if they're able to work it into their federal budget, then they can do that, and that wasn't affected by the directive to cut it out. So if they put money in a non-tribal federally funded budget, and that's within their, and their grantor is all good with that, we did not change it. So we didn't take any merit out of the non-tribal budgets.
Chair.
Second speaker.
Thank you. So I want to clear up or need clarification. However you want to consider it, I don't care. But so one of the things that Treasurer Batson said just now was, according to HR policy, if they had it in their current budgets right now, which is FY25, they could give merit rate or bonuses right now for FY25. So then what Congresswoman Whitehorn stated about doing a 3% merit raise in the budgets that we're working on for FY26, that's not something they can do right now because they're not operating in those budgets right now. So Treasurer Batson spoke to FY25 abilities and Congresswoman Whitehorn spoke to FY26 abilities. My concern would be that let's say there's 25 programs, 15 of them have money in their budgets to do merit bonuses, but 10 of them don't because it wasn't budgeted for last year. And they've also spent all of their budgets because they did everything they budgeted for. What do those 10 programs that don't have money left over in their budget, what do they do for their employees for merit?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am. The way this has been done in the past, the executive branch, according to the Supreme Court, has one executive branch budget, which means there's one giant line item for salaries and fringe. Salaries and fringe cannot be moved anywhere outside of salaries and fringe. but can remain in salaries and fringe. And so historically, we've had approximately $500,000 left over from unfilled positions throughout the Osage Nation. And that's how those 10 programs would fund the merit bonus, is you use that unspent salaries and fringe that was already appropriated, and you can move it within the salaries and fringe line. It doesn't say it has to stay over here with Bob. It can go over here to Joe. So that's how we have funded those bonuses.
Chair.
Second speaker.
Thank you, Casey. I appreciate that. I think while it would be really nice if we could hear from Mr. Nunez as to how all this is going to play out, we are also, it's September 22nd, so they have approximately 8.5 days to figure out what they're going to do with their FY25 funds. Otherwise, we would have to, this is where I've landed, just mentally. Otherwise, we're going to have to decide on a number for FY25 and just appropriate money specifically for merits for FY25. And we also just need to move ahead with FY26. That's the budgets that we have a lot more control over. We will need to go in and amend every section, yes, which is fine. I think that needs to be done. And then we can consider for the whole year, and this will be taken care of. We're kind of at a place where we're going to have to make harsh choices about FY25 because there's eight and a half days left in the fiscal year.
Madam Chair. Hello.
Okay, so
Chair.
What we have 20 minutes left until 2 o'clock, and that's when the committee ends today, is at 2. Then we have GovOps. And so, do we have a motion? Do I want a motion? Well, it depends now. I don't want to be like, let's give everybody 3%. We don't even know how much that is. I don't want to decide percentages. I want to know what the policy says, whatever it is, because if they do an eval, this has had to be, I want to know the numbers, how much it's going to cost us on the operational. And you said, how much was it? $1.45-ish. Okay, now remember, that's just the cost of the bonus. That doesn't include the IDC on it, which it'll be just not too much, but a little bit. Just keep your motion before we end the meeting, because your motion may have other action with it. Okay, because I want to talk about, because I'm getting messages from directors, just like you guys all are. I know you are, right? Everybody's phone's like, what about me? This is what I did. And everybody's rating Julio right now. So, okay. So, yeah, it's just like, okay. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys, besides that, we had new positions cut out. I've got some directors that are like, I'd rather take the new positions at this point. Yeah, some of them are like, you guys aren't even talking about the new positions that were removed. Are we going to consider new positions or not? And the reason I'm asking that is for Ms. Whitehorn, if we're going to do a motion at the end, what was the cost of those new positions, Clark? Do you remember how much those were that were removed?
I don't recall the number off the top of my head. I'd have to research it.
Okay, Congresswoman Goodfox.
Okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4,
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 members of Congress here, and this is just, I'm throwing it out there. You have 15 minutes left in your meeting. GovOps is scheduled from 2 to 4. I don't have anything on the GovOps agenda that is budget related. This is budgetary session. And if the speaker would do an emergency extension of this meeting, you all can have the GovOps time and I can reschedule for another time this week if you all want that time.
If I knew that yesterday, I would have. But right now, I don't want to switch up in the middle of the day. Because I was looking for some time. We've got another meeting. I think it's, when is it, Clerk? Wednesday?
Wednesday, 3 to 5.
And I'm fighting for time with NR on that day, too. So, but thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. So we have the new positions that were a discussion as well. What do you, I don't know what you guys are thinking about those either. The end of the day, it's about the money. Right now, looking at what we have, we don't have any money. We can't afford a merit and we can't afford new positions with what's in front of us right now. As far as the law goes, can we afford it? No. Now, we've got directors sitting there going, wait, now in FY25, I've got unspent funds. Yes, I can. And so I think that they are going to need direction. And that's, I think it's going to have to come in a collaborative effort from the treasurer and Julio. I think those two need to work together and moving forward, I don't want to talk about yesterday, about moving forward as to what this looks like for us. And for the employees, I don't really even care about us at this point. What I'm hearing is the employees don't know what to expect. They were told, put it in, take it out. At one point, they had 20 new positions. It looked like it totaled $1.2 million. I'm not for sure if, when given that number, if that included the IDC or not. So we have that. We also have, let's go on then to 2569. Let's go to Congressman Potts. He's got a request for $500,000 for the rental assistance program. Well, what I'd like to do is let's do the motions at the end after we hear kind of where we are. Are you talking about the merit? Are you wanting to do your motion now for the merit? I agree with you.
Right.
You feel like you need to do that right now, or do you want to wait till like? Okay, can I keep going? Okay, thank you. Congressman Potts has 2569, which is an act to authorize and appropriate $500,000 to the executive branch for the rental assistance program, and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Potts, what are your thoughts on the rental assistance? Have you heard back from executive, like who's going to operate it? Do you have any more info on that, sir?
Madam Chair, thank you. I have received some word from Mr. Wallace. He sent a draft of rental policy, so I'm assuming that's going to fall to housing. So whether we amend that into the housing budget, that's fine by me. I just have the expectation that there's going to be some level of funding there. If we want to cut it and call it a pilot program, that's fine, but it is required by law that we have an elder rental assistance program. This body passed that this spring, and it's effective October 1, so can't imagine having a program with no funds at all.
Did Mr. Wallace tell you how much he thinks it would cost to roll out?
I don't have that in the email, no.
And did he give you a cost to operate, like his admin? Is he going to have to hire someone new to operate the program, or did he give you any info on that, sir?
I've received no information on that.
Madam Chair.
Secretary Johnson.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Wallace has sent me a proposed budget. I approved it. So if it's all right, he can email it down to y'all.
Can you have somebody bring it down so we can get it stamped in as communication, Casey?
Yes, ma'am. He's on the line, so he can hear you. Brandon, go ahead and do that.
I just would like to hear the cost.
I will print this out and bring it right down to you.
What is the number? What's the cost associated with it, Brandon?
For admin, I have a total of $9,000. The fringe came out to $2,475. IDC was $3,142. Direct assistance, $485,383. And that was going off of the $500,000 that was proposed in the bill.
Okay. And is that based off of the number of people that are renting over the age of 55? Any stats like that where you got your 485 number?
No, ma'am. That was just strictly off of the bill itself with the amount of $500,000.
Okay. Congressman Potts, where did you come up with your $500,000?
Madam Chair, I recall putting some math to that, but that was in the spring, and I don't have those numbers handy.
It was based off of numbers?
It was based, we tied it somehow to the census. I do recall that. There was a percentage of individuals over the age of 55 that were renting, and then we looked at the total population that could affect, and then we added some calculation of people that may end up impacting. I don't have all those numbers in front of me.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, with that, you know, I get it. It's a program that's here and it needs to be funded, but why don't we look at a slight reduction in it? We know we're going to be in session between now and the spring. That is a fact. We do know that. So why don't we reduce it by, I don't know, I don't want to say half, but I mean, at least enough to make a dent to start getting the numbers to add up to where we need them in order to not be over.
Madam Chair.
That's just a start. And
I would agree. I think even 100,000 would get them going at least. Congressman Potts.
I would be open to that. I mean, 500,000 is based on a full fiscal year, I assume. It's pretty clear that they're kind of hitting the ground running with it. On October 1, so I think cut it in half, do a quarter of it. Either way, I think that's prudent.
Well, we do have right now, Brand or Mr. Wallace, you can attest to this. We have crisis that deals with rental assistance. We also have the voucher program that deals with rental assistance. We have the HUD-VASH for our veterans, and this will be the fourth rental program, correct? Rental assistance?
Correct. And last year, our policy has changed on our voucher program, which limits it to $2,000 a year per applicant. So that reduces the amount of assistance that we can provide with our voucher program.
Okay. So right now, this would be our fourth rental assistance program.
Correct. Voucher is specific to veterans only, though.
Vouchers, I thought that was
HUD-VASH. I apologize. Okay.
To say vouchers, not limited to veterans. Okay. All right. So, sponsor, then you're going to look at amending.
I was told that appropriations would do all the amending.
Now, look, we're going to need your help. I mean, I don't want to go in and be cutting. We need you to because I know you, as soon as we get on the floor, you'll put it right back up. And we're trying to all work together here, and I want to make sure that we're all in agreement with what that amount looks like. Because we're trying to, you know, look at our fund availability.
Chair. I could see a place where we, so now that the sponsor has read it into this committee, it's been heard, if we leave it here, especially in the interest of time, we got 5 minutes. If we don't take the time to walk ourselves through an amendment right now, I think if we can get to a place where we agree on an amount, we can work to amend it into the big bill. It could be an amendment into the big bill without this bill sitting here, or we could just amend your bill and then it would still get put in part of that section. But if we can settle on a figure, I think personally for me, putting it at a quarter right now would also get us through the time frame when we're talking about the IDC situation and we're working all of those details out. We will have conquered merit. We will see how the program can be rolled out. And as Congresswoman Goodfox stated, and she's right, we'll be here again, likely next month or the following. So I think it can still be a topic that we discuss, but to look at our finances as a whole and the behavior of the program. And it may dictate that it actually needs more than $500,000. I mean, that's to be determined. But I would be fine with $125,000. I don't know how the committee wants to proceed. If we just want to put it in the big bill, we're already doing a huge committee sub, folks. So then that would mean that Congressman Potts's actual bill sitting right here wouldn't need to happen. So I don't have a recommendation on how we proceed with that, but that's my suggestion, is to do a quarter and just put it in the big bill.
Okay, we also have 25116. That's another request for $500,000 for the professional fees in the legislative branch. Treasurer Batson, could you find out if there's any self-governance funds that could take care of that membership?
Audit?
Yes.
Yes, I'll get with them on that.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
And so with that little, you know we're going to be here again one or two or three times between now and spring. I did have this thought, and I don't know how anyone feels about it, but at the end of the day, we are tasked this session with our operating budgets, and there could be a pause in items like ONCA 2590, which is $7,351,000. ONCA 25105, which is $1.25 million. ONCA 25114, which is $372,500. These are not operational budgets. And the Gray Horse Village, yes, that is a separate request outside of our village budgets. They're all big ticket items that are not impacting our operations. And so my suggestion would be to leave those in committee, get through the judicial, legislative, and executive operational budgets, let that dust settle, and then we can come back in and address those things when we know a little bit more about where our numbers are. And in the meantime, I hope that at that point, our branch will have a better handle on having a budget analyst. And there might be different staff members at the Treasury office. So that's a suggestion. And for what that's worth, I'm not on this committee, but that is what I would do.
Well, I want to pay out the merit too. I'm even on the same with the merit at this point, because it sounds like I'd like to know how they intend to roll this out on behalf of the employees, what they can expect. But I'm talking about FY26 merit and what that looks like. Because we don't know. I think it's kind of been all over the place, it sounds as though. And I'd like to get a better idea about that as well. That's my own opinion. I think the Gray Horse Arbor expansion, Mr. Johnson, when that amount was sent down, typically we only do the A&E, but that's on construction projects. So this is just the total amount to expand Gray Horse. Is that correct? Or is this the A&E piece of it? Surely not.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. We had some money in the tribal development budget to hire architects and engineers to go over this. That is their estimate to do the work on what they've already laid out, designed, et cetera. We sent that down to the clerk, I want to say last week sometime. So that 1.2 or 1.6, whatever it was, I can't recall right now, is based off of completing the project. So it would pay for the expansion and all of that. Okay. So the A&E is done.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I move that Chairwoman Rivard request Treasurer Batson include a 3% merit bonus in all departmental budgets. For all merited employees, adjust the IDC totals, and to provide the Clerk of Congress the amended budgets as soon as he can.
Okay, there's a motion. It dies for a lack of a second. First of all, you can't direct me as a chair to do anything. Secondly, so in your motions, make sure, because I've checked with, I just want to make sure. So you can't tell the chair to make chairs do things, from what I've been told by Trey. You can't direct a chair to do something, but if you want the treasurer to do what, I want you to say it again without it being in the motion. What was it that you're wanting the treasurer to do?
My motion was to move that Chairwoman Rivard request Treasurer Batson include a 3% merit bonus in all the departmental budgets for all merited employees, adjust the IDC totals, and to provide the Clerk of Congress the amended budgets as soon as he can. If it was a request, I mean,
I like the request.
You could not
mayor,
follow through with a request of your committee as a chair if you choose to not follow through with a request of your committee. But it didn't have a second, so there's no bearing on it, and we're good.
I'm just wondering where the 3% came from.
Second, that was the total that we discussed and that he gave to us that were in the budgets that he had calculated during this meeting time. It came from the treasurer. It was the number that we discussed that he gave us three totals on all the different budgets and the amounts. It wasn't something I pulled out of a hat.
Second speaker.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know that I actually heard at any point treasurer say that the 3%, maybe I wasn't paying attention, but I am not comfortable recommending the percentage of merit to the executive branch from down here. That's not something I want to get involved in. I want us to be able to consider them in the budgets. Treasury has agreed that they will help us with that process and what the amendment looks like, but to determine the percentage of merit that our people would be getting is not the place of Congress, in my opinion. I'm not comfortable with putting that percentage in that request to Treasury for those documents.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Okay. And then I know that we don't like saying we're gonna come into session as we are in session, all right? I understand that. But there has also been a time that we have addressed merit after session. And it wasn't very much longer. employees, don't be getting mad at me now. It was not much longer. We literally did a turnaround and called ourselves into special session right after we ended session after the October 1, and then got the proper things that were needed in order for everyone to feel good about, from the executive side, including HR and Treasury, and from the legislative side. And that also could be an option that this committee goes with. And we could even plan it out and say, okay, we need just 2 weeks. Right now, we don't have 2 weeks, everyone. We are 1 week away from being at the last day of session. 1 week away. And so we could call ourselves back in if we needed 2 weeks to get there. And it, in my opinion, that is the responsible thing to do.
Chair.
Second speaker.
I would agree with Congresswoman Goodfox. I think that that's not the easiest. I think it's the most responsible way to proceed. That does not mean, committee, that we still will not have a lot of amendments to make to all of these bills, because there are other amendments that need to have been made, and we will make those. So it will be a large committee sub, but we can address the situation of merit, I think, later. And then we can ensure that it's done correctly across the board and that all those new positions are considered as well. I think it just allows us to slow down and make sure that it's all done correctly while also not missing the amendments to the budgets that were needed as well, because we have a long list of those that were needed. So it'll give us a chance to get the budgets correct and then address the merit, and then the budgets will be correct with merit included in a couple of weeks. That's where I feel comfortable.
Okay. And then also in the meantime, I would agree with that, but also it gives the treasurer time to look at the IDC and what they're doing within that agreement, because I think that IDC deficit is definitely going to be a driver for us as well. So, committee, we are out of time in appropriation, so a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor to adjourn, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you.